thank you, God. He's got nothing on me. I could die tonight, and he's got nothing on me. He can't even hold death over me. 32 years ago, growing up in a secular home, I was exposed to things that turned on and turned off sexual switches in me that had no business being turned on and off at that age. You said something about 10 years old. You're right. There's something about that. There's an assignment, I believe, from hell. But this young, tender age, things were done to me. I wasn't sexually abused, but I was touched in ways and fondled and just things that just totally skewed my understanding of what God created me to be and what he created me for. And so I grew up, kind of what I thought grew out of those things, and I didn't. So as I grew into other things, what I found was all those things that happened to me at such a young age, all they did was, again, they skewed my perception of how things should be and how I should feel, and so it opened up a lot of doors, if you will, for pornography. Let me just say this. Anything sexual, I was there. You understand what I'm saying? I was so drowning in it. You hear me? I was drowning in it. The sad part is, I didn't even know I was drowning. For 15 years, as a born-again believer, I stayed drowning in it. Because you know what happened when God saved me? He saved me from drug addiction. Instantly. He saved me from alcoholism instantly. He saved me from a lot of other things instantly. But this was an area that was so old and so familiar to me, I just kind of said, this little area right here, God, you don't have to worry about that one. I got it. And I know looking out in this audience, there's men and women sitting here with the same thing saying, I got this. Adultery. It's a horrible thing. It will destroy. And that's the intent of the enemy. He comes to seek, kill, and destroy. That pretty much covers it all. He wants you dead. He doesn't want the power that what the Holy Spirit is doing here this weekend. He doesn't want that power to go out of these doors. You hear what I'm saying? And you don't have to. You don't have to let him overcome you. You can take this power out there to your families and to the streets and to the highways and hedges and byways and to your uncles and aunts and cousins and all those. A couple years ago, I finally realized that, yes, I am saved. But, yes, I've been demonized. How? I'll get into that in just a moment. Couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, God, I've been in youth ministry for 5 years. We headed up the growth of a new church with our pastors, started and grew a youth ministry from scratch, been used in children's ministry, children's camps, counseling, all this stuff. I'm like, God, how is this thing still hanging on? I couldn't believe it. 15 years of this. A couple years ago in our church, Spirit was just moving in a very unique way. And I believe it was just God saying, Phil, it's time. It's time. I've had enough of this, and so have you. It's time. I pulled my wife out into the courtyard of the church that we were at the time. It was a hotel, actually. No, it wasn't. It was a senior center. I took her outside, and she said, is there something you need to tell me? I said, oh, God. It's just about to break me to the point of no return. Yes, there is something. There's a lot. And for the next few days, I just poured my heart out to her, knowing full well, I was already in leadership at that time, mind you, been in leadership in churches all my life like that as a Christian, knowing full well that could be stripped away, knowing full well that I could be judged by other leaders, by our pastor, knowing full well that she had every right to say, well, you know, biblically, Jesus said, I could divorce you, knowing full well she could do that. Didn't matter. I finally got to that place, and this is the place where I want you guys to get today. I finally got to that place where it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was my relationship with Him. That was the only thing. If it cost me everything, then it just did. Because I knew then in my heart, it really didn't cost me everything. It gained me everything. It gained me an eternity of peace starting that day. So now I'm going to let my wife share her half of the testimony, because this is what's so powerful. What happened next? See, it was easy to just throw up on her. And boy, did I ever. I puked my guts out on her everywhere. And she had to go, well, Lord, what do I do with this? And I'm going to let her tell you.
It was hard. He had been going through some things. He had a ring in his ear, and he was terrified that he had a brain tumor. And the Lord just kept giving me a peace, and he said, nah, no, there's nothing wrong. I'm doing something here. Just trust me. Trust me. Well, that particular Sunday, it happened to be June 5th, and we had just put our daughter on an airplane to take his mom out to Hawaii to visit some friends. So my daughter's flying off. And we're at church, and he was just stirred. And I'm like, is there something that God has told you to do that you've not done? And he looked at me, and he just started tearing up. And he said, yeah. So when it came time to take offering, that's when he's like, come on, we got to go. And he began to tell me some things. And he told me just the tip, to know that there was some deeper things. And in all reality, he tried to tell me some things back in 98. And he got through a little bit of it, but he couldn't bring himself to tell me all of it. And so for 2 weeks we spent, he let me ask every question I needed to ask. He poured his guts out to me, just like he said. He cried. We cried. It was the most gut-wrenching, hard thing. Because we had already been married 20 years. 20-plus years. I thought I knew him. I thought I knew everything about him. And then I find that there's this whole other part of him that I've never had a clue about. And I'm like, who are you? You know, how do I just live in this world of, in Karen land, thinking everything's hunky-dory and there's a part going on over here that is just messed up? And so, you know, it was one of those very, very difficult things. But because he came to me in a broken state, because he came to me just as a little boy, and the Lord allowed me to see him as that little boy that had been violated. I never got angry with him. Not one time. I had every right to be angry. I had every right because I had been betrayed to the core. But the Lord wouldn't let me be angry. He just kept causing me to love him. And love him. And hold his head in my lap and let him cry. It was an incredible 2 weeks. But in that 2 weeks, I also had a book. It was laying on my nightstand. I'd had it in the house for probably 3 months. Hadn't been able to read it. It was a book called They Shall Expel Demons by Derek Prince. And Phil has been traveling as a traveling salesman for a number of years. And so the times that he would travel were the times that he could you know, have some liberty to look at things he didn't need to look at. And so for him to go on another business trip was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But we prayed and we prayed, and we had gotten to a place of where he was being totally transparent with me, so that when he went on this business trip, you know, I was okay. But that one, that night that he was gone, the Lord had me reading in that book, and it started talking and sharing about deliverance. I had worked with Donica for a couple of years. She's always moved in deliverance ever since I met her. And there was parts of it that I didn't have a clue about and understand. I just could get a witness that this was God. I knew it was God. I couldn't pinpoint scripturally to say it's God because blah, 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 blah. She could do that till the cows come home. But I couldn't. I knew by the Spirit that she was on track. God would give me a witness about that. Well, when I started reading this book with Derek Prince, and I couldn't go through it from cover to cover. I hit topics. The testimonies and the things that were written in that book just totally turned the light on. I'm like, okay, we've got to go through some deliverance, because what he's dealing with, I can't do and deal with this until he's delivered, because there'll always be a fear that he's going to betray again, that he's going to violate, and that he would go out and possibly have an affair again. No, I couldn't do that. So the Lord began showing me, and I'm like, okay, God, I got to call Donica. She's my girl. I got to have her near. And the Lord said, no, no. You and I are going to take care of this thing. And you just trust me. And he said, you need to know how to do this and do it on your own. So you better watch out. So we started fasting. When Phil got home from that trip, we started talking. And I had him read. And he was reading through, and the Lord was confirming to him, yep, that's what we've got to do. So we hit I think it was a 3-day fast. And we set a date that this is when we're going to do this. Didn't have a clue what in the world, but we were obedient. And there was steps in the back of that book to tell you how to proceed. We followed that thing step by step, and the Lord started just delivering him. And we made a list of those we needed to forgive, because there were a lot that had hurt him and there were a lot that had hurt me. I had a harder time forgiving his mom and dad than I did him. How messed up is that? But I had allowed myself to get bitter because they sat by the wayside and were not aware. They had no idea what their son had gone through, what my father-in-law had opened the door to. He had Playboys all the time. My mother-in-law would buy them for him, and they thought it was normal. And I'm like, uh-uh, that's messed up. So there was a lot of things that we had to go through. And we made our list of who we needed to forgive. And then we began going through the deliverance part. We made a list of what we thought we were dealing with. And which was, you know, lots of sexual stuff. But there was also one that was kind of ugly. And that was that lying spirit. Because when you've got a hidden sin, there's a lying spirit attached, because we become good at covering up what we don't want other people to see. And that lying spirit covers up. Sometimes we have a lying spirit that speaks lies to us and tells us we're not this, we're not that. But then there's also that lying spirit that will cover our sin and want to put on the facade that we've got it all together, and that it's, you know, we're cool with this. We're rolling with this. But we went through deliverance. I went through and prayed over him. And when we were done, he turned around and prayed over me. And we got rid of all of it, because I had to get rid of the betrayal. And so that I did not constantly feel betrayed every time he would turn his back or walk out the door, or he didn't call me when I thought he should. I mean, how many times have we women not gotten the call that we thought we needed to have to know where our man is, And then the seeds of doubt start going. Okay, where is he? What's he doing? Especially if you've been betrayed before. The wheels just start turning. God does not want us to live that way. He does not want us to live afraid of whether our spouse is going to betray us or not. What God has done in us in this last several years, after we've gone through the deliverance, he's begun to cause us to move in deliverance and deliver other people with our marriage counseling and what we do, that it seems to inevitably turn around and come out with some deliverance with the counseling. But helping all of us get to that place of not only forgiving the other one, Phil had to deal with forgiving himself. There was a lot that he had heaped on himself that he had to forgive himself. That was very hard. It was a process that he went through so that he could forgive himself. That's right.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. We're not here to give one iota of glory to what the enemy did in my life for all those years. We're only here to give you hope and give you power to overcome by forgiveness. And to give God the glory that he deserves. You know, we share this testimony knowing full well that we're dropping our drawers, guys. But I'm telling your story. There's some in this audience. That's your story. Whether it's parts or all, it's your story. And I know God did this for a purpose, and he allowed this to go on as long as he did for a purpose. And the purpose is so that we can go and set the captives free. That's what we've been called to do. And that's what we're going to do. So thank God for what he's doing. We're here to speak just a few minutes about forgiveness. Because forgiveness, or rather unforgiveness, is just one area. Just one area, because Donica's talked about many. Just one area that we open up the door to the enemy. It's a foothold. Out of Ephesians 4, 25 through about 27. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What I came to understand was through unforgiveness, I had left open a door. I had given place to the devil, even as a born-again believer, for 15 years. That's way too long, folks. But I was never taught. I was never taught this. I was never taught that Christians can be demonized. You need to thank God for a pastor that understands demonization. You've got to thank him. You've got to thank God for that, because I'm telling you, this is not the teaching that is very popular today. Dr. Appleby is a well-noted author and teacher at Liberty University. It's a Baptist university. He's not real popular up there. But I tell you what, when the leaders of that university get with someone that they know they can't do anything for or do anything with, they take that person to Dr. Appleby. Why? Because they know. They know that he knows something that they don't know. So we've got to be aware of Satan's devices. And offense through unforgiveness comes very subtly and unsuspecting, like a thief, like Satan and his demonic forces. See, the cool thing about this whole oppression thing is they meaning demons, Satan, they can't oppress us if we don't want them to. That's the cool thing. You know what the bad thing is? They can't oppress us if we don't want them to. The very same thing. Why is that? Because God will not violate a man's will, really. And see, he's not a man that he should lie. So his word is true, and his word says he won't violate my will. And my will at the time was to just hang on to this thing, this ball and chain. And boy, I did it well. And he won't violate that. If you want to die and go to hell, if that is your will, he's going to protect that because that is his written word. That's kind of scary to think about. God would let me do that. Well, yeah, he's not going to force you to love him. He's going to woo you by his spirit. He's going to put in his word that if you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. And if you finally let your will be down, laid down at the altar, oh man, so many things can change in our lives. So much power can be unleashed against the enemy. So the bad thing is that they can't oppress us unless we let them. So how do we let them? Well, there's one major way, and that's what we're talking about today, and that's unforgiveness. There are many others, and Donica's going to be touching on more, but this is one key area, particularly in our churches today. We hold on to this unforgiveness. I've talked to you, to some of you even last night. We want to break that stronghold over this city. We want to break that stronghold over the Church of Jesus Christ in America. Because, folks, we're being lied to. We're being told that in our inner being, this is just an area that I can hang on to. We counseled a young woman whose father, biological father, abused her so badly, locked her up in closets for days, abused her, terrorized her. She came our way, and we ministered to her. We prayed over her. We cast out demons. We did all kinds of cool stuff. But then we got to a wall that we just couldn't get through, and we knew what it was. It was unforgiveness. And there were some other demons that had to be cast off of her, but there was no way they're going to leave because she had given them authority to stay by her unforgiveness for her father. We looked her in the eye and said, "Sweetie, you're going to have to forgive your father." I cannot describe the look of terror in her eyes. She wet herself on our couch. Does that tell you what that man did to her? It was horrible things. But she knew when she left that house that night, that was what she had to do. There was no choice left. It was the same place that I got to. I had to do what I had to do. I had to forgive my dad for not looking out for me. I had to forgive those guys and friends that were not my friends, that showed me things and did things to me that are just unimaginable. I had to forgive them. And when I did, man, we had bucket loads of of demons come out, didn't we? And we said, "Okay, you go, yet lion spirit, when you go, take this one with you." And it was the family plan, you know? It was the family plan. I said, "Take them all. Get on out of here." Hallelujah. And they left. They left. Why? Because somehow God got this in our spirit that if we forgive and release these people, he's going to clean us up. He's going to give us the authority to speak to demons, and they're going to have to go. Now, hear what I'm saying. You can't be possessed if you're a born-again believer. But, boy, you sure can be oppressed. How many feel oppressed? How many feel that you've been compelled to do things that you know are outside the will of God, and you go, "Why did I do that? What made me do that?" Okay. See, I was told by a leader in the church not long ago, he said, "Well, I just don't believe that there's a demon behind every tree." Well, let me just tell you. Have you looked behind a tree lately? Let me just tell you. Let me just read from the Word of God even better. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," this is very familiar to y'all, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness." What does that imply? If there are rulers, that means they're ruling over somebody. That means there's a lot, okay? "Against the rulers of the darkness of this age," and listen to this, "against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Host means a lot. If you don't think that there are assignments being, even right now, written up against you and you and you and you, you're wrong. That tells me that there in the heavenlies is a whole host of demons just waiting to unleash, not their power, their hatred and their lies and their wrath upon the body of Christ. You see, God gave dominion to us over this earth, but he also is going to let the prince of the power of the air have some control for a while, just for a while. And remember, you know, to the Lord, 1,000 years is but a day. We've only been here 6 days. Only 6 days this war has been going on. So when you think, good Lord, it's been 20 years I've been fighting this thing, so? How long did it take Noah to build that boat? How long was he ridiculed anyway? All right, let me get back on task here. So forgiveness is the key to close that door. And I want you to search your hearts the rest of today and write out those names of those people that you have not let go yet. Some of these people are dead. Some of these people are dead. Some of these people have been divorced for years. Let them go. Forgive them and let them go. Call their name out and say, God, I release John to you in the name of Jesus. He is not going to have control over me anymore. Would you do that? You'll find so much power and freedom in your life, you will just be blown away. You'll be blown away. Many here today are dealing with things as I did. And you're dealing with these things because of demonic activity. And you're dealing with demonic activity because you've given the devil a foothold through offense and unforgiveness. How many have heard of John Bevere's series, The Bait of Satan? Pastor, that is an excellent teaching. Excellent teaching. Our pastor chose to make sure that every member of the body went through that teaching. We have to read that book over and over again. Why? Because he knows that of all the things that we allow the enemy to get a foothold with, unforgiveness and offense is one of the biggest and easiest ones. It is. It absolutely is. Some of you may have been, but if you haven't been, you're going to be offended by him one day. Is that too strong? You're going to be offended by him, and you're going to... Get over it. Get over yourself. Take it to the Lord. Lay it down at this altar. I don't care how many times. Lay it down here. Let it burn up. Let it be a sweet savior unto his nostrils. But leave it there. Don't take it out of here. And don't take it out on him and his wife. He's just being obedient. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to close here in just a minute. Okay, go ahead.
As we went through the series with the bait of Satan, we actually had another visiting pastor come to our church on July 15th this year. And we had gone through some church hurt from a previous church. And I had dealt with forgiving like the first probably 3 months we were at our current church. I cried every Sunday, every time I walked in the door. It was just, the anointing was so strong, but the Lord was healing my heart and had me walking in forgiveness for my former pastor. But the Lord would not let me call him or write him a letter to kind of make sure the air was clear. And so I just had to keep waiting. And different times we'd have an altar call or service concerning unforgiveness, I was always checking. Lord, is it time? Do I need to do something? Do I need to? Nope. Hold. Well, the visiting pastor, Pastor Phil Muncy, came on the 15th of July, and he was ministering on making peace with your enemies. And I'm going, Lord, you know, I don't have any enemies. I don't look at anybody that I know as an enemy. Well, the Lord began stirring in my heart that it was time to call my former pastor. And I just cried and wept because part of me is like, God, I thought I wasn't going to have to deal with that. It's been so long, surely. It's, you know, I'm not going to have to do that. But he did. He said, you need to call him as soon as you get home from church. So I told Phil, and he's like, well, if you feel like you need to, then that's fine. You know, I'll be with you. So I went home after church. We had some lunch. And he says, you want to watch a movie? And I'm like, I haven't called yet. I got to go see if I still have to. And I went to the bedroom to pray. 30 seconds later, I walked out, said, I got to make the call. So I called on my cell phone so it could be on speaker because I wanted Phil to be able to hear what was being said and that my husband and my covering would just be there. And so I called him and I said, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me today that I just need to call and tell you that I release you and I forgive you for all the misunderstandings and all the things that went on. And he's like, I'm just not believing that you called because the Lord's been dealing with me. And this week, my wife said, have you called Karen yet? And it was a miracle. Absolutely. But the thing is, God wanted both of us restored. I could have called him or done the letter earlier and not been in obedience to the Lord. And I would have been fine because I'd already dealt with it. But the Lord wanted my former pastor and our relationship to be restored. We were on the phone for close to 45 minutes. He, at the end, he says, can we pray? He let me pray for him and just not so much for him, but just thanking God for the restoration. He prayed over Phil and I and gave us the blessing that we needed and wanted so that we could be cast forth into ministry and walk in the anointing that we were supposed to walk in. So there's no more back door that the enemy can come up. And he said, I'm so glad because I want to be able to see you without having butterflies in my stomach anymore. How many of us in this room have people in our path, in our past, that the thoughts of them or to see them in the mall would cause butterflies in your stomach and go, whoop! And you want to turn and not make eye contact. It's a very real thing. And we have to walk in forgiveness. So I'm so grateful that the Lord has brought restoration. And the praise is, he also did that with Donica a couple weeks later. The Lord had Donica call and make things right. So it is awesome. And God is in the restoring business. If we will just be participants, he will do the restoring and do the work. We just have to be yielded.
How are we doing on time here? All right, good, good. You see the power of that, though? The power of forgiveness, the power of his revelation, knowledge to us. Let me quote from the article that's in your booklet from Dr. Appleby. It comes to us because, let's see, unforgiveness. Our deliverance is the result of Jesus' perfect work upon the cross. It comes to us because God forgave us our sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we refuse to forgive anyone, Christ's forgiveness doesn't apply. That's why I wanted you to see a visual of what this says. And the really crazy thing is, I've been saying this to couples that we've been ministering to for the last couple of years. If you can't forgive your husband, ma'am, if you cannot forgive your husband, sir, I mean your wife, sir, then you're telling Jesus Christ that his propitiation is not enough. His sacrifice, God, not enough. I need another one. That's what you're saying. I don't want to say that anymore. Christ's forgiveness does not apply, nor can we command demonic spirits to leave based upon that completed work of Jesus, because in our head, in our heart, there was no completed work. If we hold on to unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty plain English to me. And that's Matthew 6:14. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything, I want you to hear us, against anyone, there's no qualifiers in there, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no qualifiers in Word of God right here. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. If there's any unforgiveness in the person, the deliverance will be unsuccessful. This is the most common hindrance to successful ministry and deliverance, and that's why we're here today. And that's why we felt compelled to speak this to you folks today, because today is your day. Today is the day that you can rise up and say, enemy, I'm not standing for your nonsense anymore. This is my day. This is my day. I'm going to release that person today. This is your day. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. See, the world would say, oh, honey, and this just happened. We just had a neighbor that just got her finalized divorce 2 days ago. And all of her friends were going, oh, you go, honey. Oh, it's about time. It's about time you got rid of that guy. He was nothing but trouble. That's what the world would say. So don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's perfect will is for you to live in harmony and peace. War against the enemy. Don't war against each other. War against the enemy, the principalities and the powers and the imaginations and arguments that the enemy would try to infiltrate our camp with. Don't war against each other. In Romans 13, 11 through 14, and do this, knowing the time. Knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It goes hand in hand with what Pastor was quoting from Isaiah. To awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And folks, I'm telling you, if you can possibly look around today and say, oh, we're not in the last days, I don't know what else to tell you. My sister and I were talking about it. It is here. The time is drawing nigh. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And that's what we're doing here today. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. See, folks, I struggle when I give this testimony, especially when we're called to minister to the body, because I know that some of you are going to look at me and go, he sure can't minister to me. And that's okay. You know, that's all right. But please just hear our hearts today. You can be set free. You can be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. Not by what you can do. You can't do nothing. But only by what he did. But you can fulfill his promise. You can make the work now complete by forgiving. Forgive your wife. Forgive your husband. Forgive your mom and dad from years and years and years of hurt. Old pain. Old pain. Forgive him. Forgive him. I'm going to sing a song. And as I do, I'd like our ministry team to just come forward. And as I sing, just come down. Just come down and release. Release some people in your life so that you can release the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't hold them back anymore. Don't hold yourself back anymore. So as I sing, I'll probably have to do it a cappella because I didn't tell you what it was. just come down. Ministry team, would you come? It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you, 'cause you're wonderful, yeah. It's so easy to love you, isn't it though? It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you, 'cause you're wonderful. It's so easy to love you. Folks, come on down. It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you, because you're wonderful. Oh, yeah. It's so easy to love you. Jesus, I love you. It's so easy to love you. It's so easy to love you.